who, I think, from our side as the Committee on Tourism, we would like the accounting officers to stress much more on the side of tourism, on their mandate, and that is on equitable and sustainable growth from tourism, and poverty reduction, jobs, and sustainable livelihoods. Looking at the different areas, like you have key performance areas from the report, but there are some areas like increase in tourist volume, improve geographic spread, increase in tourist spend, improvement in seasonality patterns, length of stay, promote transformation, competitiveness. Those are the things that, amongst others, form part of what we are looking at in the growth of industry, of the tourism industry. And I do not know how long your presentation is going to be, but we will prepare a presentation for about 30 minutes. And thereafter, then we'll have a question and answer session. I do not know whether that will be convenient for you, Mr. Pascal.
Yes, I think we can agree to what you request and manage that way. I will then, in some of the slides, I've circulated the document of the slides that's applicable. So some I will just run over and identify the issues that I think just be brought to your attention, and then we will more concentrate on the slides in relation to the tourism part.
Okay, thank you, because really our mandate is to focus more on tourism. We appreciate that you've got so far a much broader mandate, but at the same time, because this department has been set, it has a mandate. It was particularly to focus around tourism, as it is becoming a key component in the economic growth of our economy. And perhaps one would have to thank the team as such for performance in previous years. And for now, perhaps we shall hear from you and then assess from you. I also would like to congratulate one of the members of Alala. She's turning 70 years tomorrow. I wish another 70 years. a good and a healthy life. Congratulations, ma'am. Over to you then, Mr. Pascal.
Thank you. From the department side, also, congratulations with your birthday. I hope I'm going to look that well on 70. Chair, just to sort of my introduction, the team, we've got a small team, and we are taking account of what government is saying. We're cutting costs. I've got Bulewa Seti and Anneli Malan. They are from the branch tourism. Ralph Ackerman, who's in the office of the Chief Financial Officer, and John Gakulani, who is the person dealing with our social responsibility program at transfer into tourism. So he'll be dealing with that within tourism. And then we've got Chasha there, who is from the medium liaison officer within the deputy president's office. And Johan Durant, who just left, the minister just called him. Chair, just to indicate that the presentation was developed based on the annual report as being a Department of Environment and Tourism. As I've indicated, we've identified the slides applicable to tourism and therefore I'll just take you through that one and focus more on the environmental one. You must excuse me, I'm still wearing two hats. Although I became a tourism expert now lately. On slide three, the presentation will be on two outlines. One is the financial audit report, and the second one is the non-financial performance information program. And just to indicate, Chair and members, that the performance audit was concluded on tourism this year, in the financial statement. So every information that's in the financial statements have been audited by the Auditor General to confirm our deliverables. As you were aware, that government is moving towards performance audits and not only financial audits. The next slide indicates what was our budget at the bottom. Per program, you will see tourism has 100% spent. And then the total of the department's expenditure were 99.8%. In fact, we've only underspent 7 million rand, which were committed money to be spent in the next financial year. So if you take that into consideration, we would have done 100% expenditure. The next slide indicates the economic classifications as per the E&E document, that red book that normally goes to Parliament, which reflects the 7 million under expenditure. So our total budget for 2008-09 was 3.2 million, and our expenditure was 1.198. The next slide, I'm going to skip that, talks to our entities in relation to environment. Then the next slide, I think what is important here is that our social responsibility program, which are dealing with environment and tourism, the total amount spent was 758 million, that is transfer payments. And then the National Business Trust received some money from the department for the Tourism Enterprises Program. And then the National Business Initiative, they've received 2 million from the department in relation to tourism. The next slide is only the Tourism Business Council, where we've contributed 1.5 million and to SICTA a million rand in relation to tourism. The next slide is purely donor funding, and it's all for environmental projects. Then the management report from the Auditor General, unauthorized and irregular expenditure, no unauthorized or irregular expenditure occurred in the 2008-09 financial year of this department. The third item in the financial statement, the department complied with all disclosure requirements, classification and policy frameworks as prescribed by Treasury. And then the transfers to agencies, all transfers based on prior management approval, Treasury approval, and the total requirements were met. The next slide is the summary of what was coming out of the Auditor General's document, and that you will also find in the annual report of the department. Unqualified audit report, no significant finding has been identified on performance information. That's what I was referring to around the tourism ones we stated. No matter of emphasis, except for other important matters to be considered by management for the improvement of current controls. The Auditor Committee concur with the acceptance of the conclusion. The Auditor General of the audit of the annual financial statements and performance information. The Audit Committee is of the opinion that the audit annual financial statements clearly represent the position and performance of the department based on the audit, and external audit was fully functional for the year under review. The next slide indicates the assets, liabilities, and the total liabilities in the department. You'll see there's an increase from the previous year to this financial year, but the total revenue recovered was 375,000. Just to state that the next slide is a statement of financial performance, and if we go to the last block, I think that is the important part. I referred to it earlier. The 7.679 million is money that has gone back into the revenue account, and that was for air quality equipment ordered but not received yet. And then what has been recovered from revenue in total, and what has gone back to the revenue account, is 17.7 million. Chair, I'm then going to move on to the performance indicators on the operational side. Just to sort of indicate, I think the slide 15, what I would like to highlight then is that the vacancy rate of the department was 20%. Our target was 16%. But on the review by the Department of Public Service and Administration, our department was one of the top departments with having a fairly low vacancy rate, although it's not acceptable for us. We want to sort of bring it down. The turnover rate, we set a target that the turnover rate should not be more than 15%, and the turnover rate of the whole department was in the region of 12%. Then our performance management system, that's going into the balanced scorecarding system. We were hoping to implement it by 90%, and our estimated target was 85%. Then I would like to go to the next one, employment relations cases process within the prescribed time frame. We've managed to sort of reach a target of 100%. And then just on the staff democracy representativity of our department, you can see there that on women and on blacks, we've achieved a fairly good target. Our problem still is with disabilities at 1.4%. 17, 18. Then on 18, there's two issues. One is that we started with the process of getting a new building for D. That process has been formalized through the Treasury. The only difference is that the new building will be split in having a tourism building and an environment building. But the campus will be the same, and the structure of the building will be a campus-style building. Okay, and then I think what is important for us servicing the stakeholders out there, we set a target to manage our call center request at least at the 90%, and according to the incoming calls and the responses to that, we've achieved in that financial year 100% commitment around that one. The website uptime were about 5% less than what is the target we set ourselves. Okay, and then I would like to go to slide to the tourism one, which I will deal with more in detail. Slide 29. Just to say that the department's strategic plan has not been designed to address specifics around a program, that it's been designed as the department addressing the total needs. So you will find the same type of competitiveness under EQ&P or under biodiversity, but we've sort of structured this in this around the tourism sector. So any of the other programs also needs to address this target as within the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism Strat Plan. We are focusing on what was the requirements for tourism. So the first one was skills available in the tourism sector. Our targets were approved tourism human resource development strategy, and the national tourism human resource strategy has been finalized and launched at the National Tourism Conference in October last year. We've set a target of 145 new tourist guides trained and registered, a total of 128 tourist guides have been trained on SA hosts. The shortfall in our issues was at Limpopo province, as the Limpopo province could not contribute towards the training and did not have a budget for that. Training or then 100 training opportunities created in this sector, and 155 training opportunities were created. We set the target of 1,000 small, micro and medium enterprises trained, and the total that was trained was 4,163. 50% of approved sector skills plans implemented, and based on that one is 135.6% of the approved sector plan skills target implemented. Just to state up front, Chair, is that, as we discussed that yesterday, is that the target in skills plans is also coming from TikTok. So what they assumed will be ready and what has happened was two different things. So this is why there's such a big variance in us pushing TikTok in getting the skills plans on the table and get it approved to get it into the sector. The quality of tourism products and services, there is six, we set a target of establishments to be graded, 6,365, and the accommodation establishment graded was 8,053, and just to say where we are at this stage, we are about at 792, so some of those establishments haven't renewed their things, so there's a slight decrease in that up to date in the new financial year. The next slide is ensure competitiveness of the SA tourism sector. Quality of tourism projects, commitment of 20% reduction in electricity consumption by the tourism industry, deliverable change to develop of awareness brochure. So while we set the target of 20%, we've realized after that of how do you measure that, how do you implement it if you don't educate the people. So the department has then made an amendment in the business plan by saying, let's get the brochure out there and inform the stakeholders and the industry how to deal with that. And I think for those traveling going to hotels, you'll see some of these information readily available. So the brochure has been developed in partnership with the Department of Mineral and Energy Affairs, ESCOM, Tourism Business Council of South Africa, and been employed into the industry. Constraint reduction and improved accessibility of the portfolio and domestic markets. Two restrictions in key markets lifted. So what we did is that the days for visa applications for China and India is reduced from 10 to 5 days. Just to say that this is a joint KPA, which are also shared with SAT, where they are dealing with the marketing related issues, and I assume they have also reflected on that when they presented their annual report. Four additional flights routed and airlines introduced. In effect, 71 additional flights were routed. The National Tourism Support Program in place. Six provinces adopted and implemented the National Tourism Safety and Awareness Strategy. Then the establishment implement structures and start with implementation of it. Structures to evaluate tourism roads, signage, concurrent with provinces in place and led by the Department of Transport. This is also one of those items in the new year we are addressing on a high level with the Department of Transport in our preparations for 2010. Soccer, the FIFA. Framework for managing tourist information centers in place. The framework for the managing tourist information centers is in place, and I can also report that through the SRPP, we've built six of them, of which four have already been launched. The next one is tourism product development. Recommendations implemented in two identified geographic areas. And our achievement as the second global competitive project recommendation was implemented in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal. Tourism enterprises development, the intention was to link up the creation of those enterprises, 605, what has been achieved is 1,264 meters. They maximize tourism and development potential for the 2010 Futsal World Cup. The 2010 tourism plan implemented, we set a target of that to be implemented in that specific financial year at 30%. That is in relation to accommodation, training of ambassadors. Some of that has supported the Federation Cup. Our measurement at that stage, end of March, we have implemented 40% of the tourism plan, and realizing that most of the deliverables will come in this financial year and early next year. The tourism ambassador program implemented, a total of 500 ambassadors recruited and trained. Ultimately, we have trained 4,050 volunteers, and that was based also on the demand for the Federation Cup. So we have sort of had to move some of our funds, reprioritize to sort of get more people trained. Then the Green 2010 FIFA World Cup, that was linked under this. That is purely an environmental issue. But just to report that through our assembly and through the provinces, the greening program is on track for greening the stadiums, looking at the sand parks, and at our information centers. The tourism sector transformation, the levels of tourism, black economic empowerment charter, and scorecard implemented. Our target was that 50% of that target to be met. Just to state, Chair and members, that the transformation charters are within the mandate of the Department of Trade and Industry. Our ministers have signed off on the proposed gazette, but the gazette was only gazetted by DTI in May this year, which has impacted on us delivering on that target because there was no real enforceable instrument to drive the BEE charter. Although I can say that I think the industry has voluntarily sort of started working towards the gazetted regulations. Then 50% of organs are state procuring from employed establishments. Tourism sector was not able to report on that. But as a department, I can state, Chair, that our statistics were 65% within the DEEG family of using BEEs. Ensure equitable and sustainable use of natural resources. That's now biodiversity. That's the end of the tourism one. And then, Chair, I would like to go to slide 44. just to state, our social responsibility program has got four legs. It deals with environment, it deals with waste, it deals with tourism, and Jonga, you must help with the fourth one. Post-care project. So it's a joint program. The number of catered training days created, now just to say that it is not a requirement for our department to deal with the training, that's a labor issue. But the management of DEET has decided within section of the environment that training is, with the expanded public work, that training is very important for this department. So we've set ourselves targets of accredited training days, was 106, what we've achieved was 172,914. The number of non-accredited training days, 54,000, we've achieved 89,196. Learnership linked to Project City, we've only managed to achieve 12. And I think the issue is that in the beginning there was not a lot of learnerships, but as you progress, less and less new learnerships can be developed. The number of permanent jobs created, our target was 400, and we've achieved 433. And then the number of temporary jobs created is 14 temporary jobs, and we've managed to create 14,214. Then the next slide is the percentage of overall budget spent allocated to the presidential notes. So our SRPP, we're also focusing on presidential notes and project consolidator of municipalities. The target was 40%. Our projects assigned to that was 57%. The number of SMMEs created through the SRPP program, we set a target of 350. We've ultimately achieved 3,472. And the increase is also that when we appoint implementers, we also make sure that they comply with the BEE guidelines. We've also started with a national youth services program. That is a program that was launched by the Deputy Presidency 2 years ago. From these sites, we've adopted that same principle. We set a target of 500,000. We've achieved 500, and we achieved 395 youth were enrolled into the National Youth Services Program. Just to say that the program that was designed was purely around environmental and marine and coastal issues. And the main reason why we haven't achieved our 500 target is that there was quite a lot of issues with one of the implementers and to formalize the agreement. Then, as far as managing the department, our master system plan, which is an IT-related platform, we have a three-phase approach, and we're in phase two of initiating and implementing it. In fact, the departments are almost fully electronic operational, so all documents come in electronically until it reaches the minister's office. Reduction of energy, we set a target in our offices to do a reduction of our energy consumption, and it's been down by, we've managed to have the 6.5%, and that's been reflected in the water and light sort of account. And then also, as we were environment and tourism looking after nature, we put in a reduction in paper, because we are electronic. So the reduction in paper use was 0.65, and 50% of the paper that's been used is recycled. Then I think the last slide I want to go to is the second last slide. Then just to say, as far as our compliance with Parliament is concerned, we set a target to make sure that we meet timetables, timeframes, 90% compliance. We've managed to achieve 100% compliance. And then percentage of parliamentary questions from which sponsors have been provided on time, 90%. And in the previous financial year, we've achieved 100%. I think this year it's a little bit difficult because we've got new parliament, so we're getting a lot of more questions, and we are suffering one, so hopefully the chair can help us in this with you. Chair, that is it from our side. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Mr. Pascal. Thank you. And frankly, do you pay your accounts to all municipalities? They can start with the basics.
We are not in the department dealing with municipalities, but if there is a relationship with municipalities, yes, I can assure you that.
Where do you use water?
We environment, we're not the water part, and that's where the problem is.
And I think before we go to all the other members, the consender, how do you make sure that this consender is well known? I happen to be one of the people that are not aware about the consender. And when the perhaps one should also congratulate you for an unqualified audit report, and as you go down everywhere, at least I think it is almost absolutely clean. Well done, and thank you very much for that. over to the members of the committee for questions and then for interaction with the accounting authority.
Sorry, I couldn't hear that, member.
No, we're expecting you to ask a question, and then...
I just heard him talking, sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to endorse your congratulatory remarks to the presenter, though he was going at a breakneck speed. For us who have not taken sight of, who have not had sight of the document, it has been rather too fast and too quickly presented. So we have not been able to absorb properly what is in here. Maybe if we're privileged to have the report before, we would have been in pace with you. The one thing I'm not, it's just a remark at first. One thing I'm getting from here, your report is quite glorious and very simple, but it somehow doesn't talk to the state of the nation address in a number of ways, especially that I don't hear or see anything that specifically is targeting the rural area and rural development in all spheres. It is just a blanket cover of so many people trained, so many people trained, and yet I think that now you are a separate department of tourism, and tourism is said to be a job creator. I think we should apply ourselves more to job creation, especially in rural areas. Right now, what I'm hearing is just an amorphous a delivery of what, you know, that the department has done without being specific towards this rural development, that rural development. And there are a lot of programs, I mean, a lot of items here, which it would be nice to hear what the department has done about these nice things that have been presented here in the rural areas, because that is where there is the inspiration, hence the creation of the rural development and the land reform department as a separate entity. So this is just a remark at first. I will come back to you on a number of things. Maybe I should shoot seeing that I'm on the floor. May I? You have decanted tourism from the usual tourism GIT program, and you have done so quite advantageously and nicely, and it is different from the annual report of 2008 and 2009 in a number of ways. It's got a lot of variances. But however, having said that, it is a concern that there doesn't seem to be specific targeting of sustainable livelihood in the rural areas from the Department of Tourism. Secondly, we are talking of, we've glossed over 2010, and it's a wonderful benefit that it is going to bring, which every department is talking about. What's in it for the rural people? You have talked about grading and grading systems. How do you grade the I know that the local organizing the committee is trying to reach out for them for, you know, in the hospitality industry. They are short of beds, but there are a lot of beds in rural areas which could be utilized if those areas could be gradable. But unfortunately, right now, as the situation is, the grading system totally excludes the SMME operators in rural areas simply because, one, they haven't got, they've never been capitalized by anybody, and they are struggling, and they have got the enthusiasm to set up things, but there is no resource or no grant or anything coming from the Department of Tourism. Without finishing points for the other people, I may have to come back later. I've got a lot of concerns about the BNB situation and your relationship with the local municipalities and information dissemination to the rural community. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks.
Ms.
Hussein.
You're talking about the training of SMME. Thank you. Can you give us, this is up to slide 29 here, you're talking about SMEs, can you give us a little breakdown of what areas of activity those are? Are those B&Bs, are they tour operators, what they are? And as you say that 4,160 of them have been trained, how many of them are actually operating financially sustainable? If you can talk to that one, I'd appreciate that. And I'll come back to some other stuff later, but that's enough for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry, I started from the different venue. I was waiting for.
Okay,
so, thank you very much, Mr. General. Part of my, even though I don't know whether the Auditor General or not. Maybe it's a promotion in disguise.
Thank you, Member.
With the salary.
It's true that most of my questions are really covered by the first member who was raising issues which are related to the rural area. One has a deep concern as far as your point of departure, as far as the rural people are concerned, because nothing was really sort of like indicated. Because I believe that all the tourists, when they come, they want to see what is happening in the rural area. The link of tourism with other departments such as arts and culture, which one would like to advise maybe the department that what they see is what is there on the ground. And then the other thing you know that is that our youth have a lack of knowledge that they have to be given something which will really develop their interest as far as tourism is concerned. Nothing is really said, even though you have touched a little bit. We who are from the rural area, we don't know what, how can we really encourage them? And still at the same time, nothing was said. How can this media sort of, can really encourage these rural people, know that at least something is in place where they can at least develop the interest of sort of like doing whatever they want to get. They can do more, especially when you look at 2010, which is right knocking at the door. Thank you.
And Jorge.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson. I base my questions mainly on what you have received on the slide, but some of them will be similar to what has been asked so far. Now, on slide 15, the very first point, Maybe I'm misinterpreting those two columns, the last two columns, the target and the achievement, challenges and so on. Now the very first one, your target is 16%, the achievement is 20%, but you say the target was not achieved. I don't understand. Doesn't the first column, which gives you the target, and the second column, which gives you achievement, mean that you have either achieved more than what you had targeted or less than what you had targeted? So can you just interpret the first one for me? I'm not sure if I understand it. Now, on slide 29, a question has already been asked, slide 29, section 2. And mine is similar to that, but well, personally, what I would like to see also is you see that there's this complaint that we are always having as a committee, which has also come up even now, the concern about the spread of the tourism industry and how much, for instance, it covers the rural area. The concern has already been raised here very seriously. But supposing you give us a breakdown, for instance, on those figures, like the FNMEs on slide 29, would that not help us, for instance, to be able to see whether the spread, the distribution, you know, of the training opportunities, the distribution of the small, micro, and medium enterprises that have been trained, you see. If you gave us a breakdown so that we can see the spread, where are these, are they in one province, are they in all the provinces, and how much spread are they? It comes up again elsewhere in the presentation where you are talking about training opportunities as well. So I think when you give us big figures like that, for us, it would be interesting to get to know what the spread is like. Now, on slide 30, you're talking about four additional flights that have been routed and airlines introduced. Actually, we've been having a question here as to whether really the rural areas are accessible to tourists in terms of the transport going to those areas, particularly the flights, because there are very, very few flights, for instance, which go to some of the national parks, sometimes only two per week, and other areas only once a week. Now, also my interest there would be whether these additional flights have anything to do with accessing the rural areas to tourists, because there's no use, for instance, asking for tourists to visit rural areas if the rural areas are not accessible to such tourists, particularly the international tourists. Slide number 30. Oh yeah, that was 30. Slide 32. The greening of the FIFA World Cup. What does that really mean? Can you just explain to me what it is, meaning the 2010 FIFA World Cup? Sorry about that. I've already said something about slide 44. Again, there my concern is the distribution. These temporary jobs that have been created, permanent jobs that have been created, non-accredited and accredited training that has been done, the learnership, you know, all those statistics that is given there on page 44, my interest would be the spread of those activities.
Thank you,
Professor. Mine is just want the clarity or to understand more. I hear the department they did have a target of 50% of black women in their department, so they have achieved 54%. So I wanted to know the breakdown. I want to know in the top management how many women are there in the top management. I want also to get more understanding about the tourism grading council, because why I'm asking this, I want to know if all different people or people with disability are part and parcel of this grading. If not, why are not they are not there? Because most of people who are disabled, they are also tourists. I want to get the clarity. And then, if we are ready for 2010 as tourism, I want to know our relationship with the transport, because we can go out and market tourism, but if we don't have that relationship with transport, knowing what is transport doing and the transport knowing what we are doing in the tourism, I don't think it will work well. And then on the other thing, most of the thing when I reach here, other provinces are not there, like Bonos West, Eastern Cape. I want to know when we are targeting tourists, are you only targeting the big city where the flights are, as some of the members have already touched on that question. I want to know, are you looking holistically, or you are choosing where you're supposed to be putting more of your assistance? And then where we've got flights, as I have already said, the relationship with the tour and with the transport, I would like us to check if we won't have the same incident that we've got of shortage of fluid. If we've got that relationship, I want to know what is the response from the transport concerning the fuel issue? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think before the... Oh, okay,
anyway, it's just that some of the questions have been asked. I happen to be right at the tail of whatever. But now, slide 29. Well, I understand there are about 129 tour guides that have been trained on FA's top post. My worry is, what happens to them after training? What help do they get from the department? I mean, when it comes to employment. Because I'm not sure whether they just become white elephants, some of them. No employment with the training that they've undergone. Okay. And what important points about training of tour guides, I would like to know from the acting DG whether are they trained to at least to have one foreign language, like, let's say, French, because most of the people, they speak French. You can imagine if a tour guide cannot express it, him or herself when meeting a tourist, you know. That is just one of the things that might, which might be considered by the department. It shouldn't be only English, even with some of our African languages, you know. It's very important because we shall be having them visiting us, more especially during 2010 FIFA World. Well, I'm sorry, I would like to repeat this question. Mami Rogwe has just made mention of it. According to the Green 2010 FIFA, 2010 Greening Framework Development, what is going to happen? Because when it comes to greening, I'm happy that today I know that greening falls under tourism.
Environment.
Mm. Okay. Because I know there was one time when I visited schools and community places whereby greening was taking place. But now, for 2010, maybe you can just expand and tell us more. Now, what? That was greening. One other thing which I want to congratulate the department on is the staff demographic representative, where it has been mentioned. Thank you very much, Captain. That I really am happy that we are being led by somebody who is very organic. Because you just said, guys, let's stick to tourism. Let's not waste time talking about Buyisa Ibeg and then speak to tourism. That was excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My question is also on slide 29. On the skills available in the tourism sector. One is 145 new tourism guides. How are those tourism guides identified? Are they advertised? How do people know about the training? And then 100 training opportunities. What kind of those off training? Because it says only 135 training opportunities created. What kind of training? And then on the SMMEs, how many are rural? And then according to your evaluation, how many have achieved on this training? Because you may train people and then it's just for training. And then on the accommodation establishment grading, because of the challenge of grading, how many on the 8,500 and 8,053, how many are rural? Because most of your accommodation are focused on urban areas.
Thank you. Perhaps before the next round, let me ask a few questions as well. There is a problem of food tourism in the country in favor of Western Cape, Gauteng, and the KwaZulu-Natal to an extent. Is there a significant change that we are seeing? And if so, what are we doing if there is no change? That is the first area. The second area is around transformation in the industry, both in terms of the normal, we think, environment aspect. And secondly, away from monopolies, how is the small person benefiting this small industry? How are they benefiting? The other area is, has the department profile tourists according to reason or for their visit? I ask this question because there is a need for growth, and then if there is a need for growth, we need to know perhaps what makes people visit South Africa for purposes of tourism. And if we do know the reasons, what is the percentage that we are having for cultural tourism? And what perhaps plans are there to sustain the 2010 peak and momentum beyond 2010? Perhaps we have plans, and given that we are becoming a department, are we going to have a interaction and engagement to make sure that we attain growth in this less signality in tourism, and then much more growth. And on the issue of a brand ambassador on tourism, the ambassador is Mr. Lucas Hardeni, and he was not there at the conference that we had. How do we make use of that ambassador? Because I think he's quite a popular figure, and then some of the messages really can be augmented by his participation. And then around the tourism BE charter and the scorecard that gazetted in 2008, what differences have been made that are in compliance with the charter? How are we doing in order to comply with the charter? And another question was around the conference, the last BE conference. I do not know whether it was in 2008 or 2007. What were its results? Were there any tangible steps in terms of the way forward? And if so, what were they? And another area was an observation that the lack of authentic cultural tourism is one of our missed opportunities. That is according to FA Tourism. Can we improve on this? If so, what are your plans? Do you think that traditional leaders can be of help one way or the other? Let's stop then. But this is within the mandate of tourism. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Pascal.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks to the police for all the questions. Chair, perhaps just on the call center, we've recognized that was one of the big problems in South Africa. The South African tourism is responsible for the call center, but each of the provinces also maintain their own call centers, and that's the challenge was for the integration. What I can indicate to the committee, the chair, is that from the minister's side, interventions have taken place. We have managed to obtain a lot of information around all tourism facilities within the provinces, and that a single call center is in the process of being developed. It will be ready by mid-December. It will have a one call number that will be widely known, and it will be managed through the SIT. So the intention is that when you phone in from wherever, they can link you up or identify your needs around tourism facilities and the booking system. Linked to that, for the 2010, we've also reached agreement with the Business Council that they, in consultation with PEDASA, will set up a single portal reservation center so that people who want to book can enter in through that single portal system. There is some challenges. As you know, that tourism is a dual competency, so some provinces have got their own agendas and their own ways to deal with it, and not necessarily to fit into the national one. So I think a lot of my answers, I will also refer to what is the national department's responsibility as a policy setting department, and what is the responsibility of provinces. So quite a lot of the questions related today is in the hands of the provinces. We can put the guidelines on the table, but it's how they're taking it forward. So Chair, that was on the first one. Then the issue about the State of the Nation address. Sorry, my excuse. There's two questions. The 0809 refers to the previous year, and that address the issues in relation to the State of the Nation address, which are not much different to the one of President Zuma, which talks to the issues about poverty. I think what was set out at the State of the Nation address earlier this year was the rural development part. And that's something that we are really addressing in the sort of interim period, but also looking forward in the long term. What I can indicate is that we've had a similar question from a member in Parliament around what projects do we have in rural areas. I can indicate this from our statistics, and that's stemming from the SRPP program. We're having 236 projects that are linked to rural areas. And then also to say that from the department side, after the launch of the president around the upliftment of Kiani, we've also identified projects there. So I think we're on track as sort of a interim measure in getting into the rural issues, and I think that Chonga later, when I will ask him to respond to some of the questions, he can give some more detail around the rural area. Now, SRPP program, I can tell the committee that is very much focused on what we can develop in the rural areas. So I think we will deal, when we deal with the other question about the SRPP targets, I think we can deal with it there. Then the concerns about sustainable livelihoods, the issue about rural areas, the best in rural areas. we've just done an exercise of what is available in the provinces. We're very much dependent on what the provincial authorities can give us. I cannot at this stage indicate specifically how many beds are there in rural areas. What we can promise the committee is to go back and try and find that information out of the statistics we've got. As I've indicated, that a lot of this is much dependent on what we're getting from the provincial departments who are driving tourism in the provinces. But I will list that as one of the actions, and we will report back to the committee around the beds in the rural areas. Similarly with the grading. Just to note that the grading council are part of the SAT, South African Tourism, and I am not sure whether they've reflected that in their annual report, but we will follow up on that and sort of then give you the information of what of the graded establishments are within the rural areas. We do have a list that talks about BEE, bed and breakfasts, or hotels, or what accommodation that is. But we will request them to give us a breakdown, and we will then forward that to the chair or the secretariat of this committee. Just to say on the grading, we've realized that one of our, or there's two problems around grading. One is sufficient resources to do grading, and I'm talking about human capital as well as financial resources. The grading council's budget is only 6 million, and therefore they can only grade within that sort of It will increase for the next financial year to 18 million. The minister has also presented a motivation to Parliament, and we've received another 3.5 million for this financial year for the appointment of provincial evaluators. Because the issue is that grading is done by companies, but there's no real monitoring to see whether they comply with that. So there will be 9 provincial evaluators appointed by January that will oversee the grading. The question that was raised about SMMEs, we will also sort of ask the Grading Council to supply us with that information. So Grading Council to supply us on beds in rural areas as well as SMMEs that are graded in the rural areas. Then on the SMMEs, which training? Just to say that the Tourism Enterprises Program, which are funded through the Business Trust, are supporting us on the training of SMMEs, and that is the Tourism Enterprises Program. In one of our suggestions to the committee, we suggest that we at one stage have a detailed briefing on what the Tourism Enterprises Program is about. That I would like only just to respond on which training they are dealing with, and then we can deal with that one. Yes.
Thanks, Gigi. Chair, the training focus on four main areas. One is business skills, the other one is mentorship. Then they have a set of 8 toolkits, and they also do training on SO hosts. The toolkits, the ones that's most requested is on quality assurance, marketing, business administration, but it also includes website design, legal, business planning. So those are the kind of training that is provided through TEP to SMMEs. TEP focuses on SMMEs that display some kind of potential to be sustainable. So they're not focusing on survivalists. They start to focus on LSM level of 2, so they're not focusing on the survivalist. The training is spread across all provinces. I can provide the information if it's needed, but it's spread across all provinces. More than half of those are HCI SMMEs. TEC also introduced a graduation model. There was a question around sustainability. And the aim of this graduation model is to look at the sustainability, because training is the first step into their model. Then after training, they will work with the SMMEs to get market access. So they will assist them to get market access. And after that, you move to mentorship. So you will receive a mentorship program and a mentor that will work with you. And their aim is then that you will then become a mentor for other SMMEs moving forward. So it's a full circle.
Thank you, Chair. I think that the question was also related to the rural area, and I think we might not have it specific to the rural area. I must be honest to say that I think they also focus on where those SMMEs are, and we can also sort of get that information to see what is the spread, whether it is urban or whether it is at a rural sort of area. But as I indicated, Chair, I think we need to get TEP here so they can explain the models. What they try to achieve is also within limited resources in the amount that is sort of earmarked and then have to prioritize it. But they can take the advice from the committee of how we can adjust our priorities in implementing it into the new financial year. Chair, then, the issue about departure from rural development. I think there's a lot of issues about rural development, and we will have to try and find a way of sort of addressing all those concerns. What I can say at this stage is that the strategy that's under development has a specific chapter that will deal with rural development and the cultural and heritage issues. That's the issue that has been identified and that will be addressed in the strategy. In our approved establishment that we submitted to the Minister of Public Service and Administration, we've created the tourism development branch, and in that branch we're talking at niche projects, which includes your rural development projects, and the niche projects will also talk to some of our forward-looking vision around beyond 2010 of what is those products that we need to put on the market to maintain the momentum around 2010. Slide 15, vacancy. I think the honourable member is correct. Our target was 16%. We underachieved because, in fact, what we had was 20%. So we set ourselves a target of saying our vacancy rate should not be higher than 16%. We couldn't manage that. It was 20%. But if I can sort of benchmark us in government, the normal government vacancy rate is being 25% and up to 35%. So it's not good enough for us, and we would like to sort of bring it down, but it's sort of a variance in that. So the member is correct around that one. The state of the tourism industry and reaching down of SMEs to be given. The state of industry, I think, is also linked to what the chairperson has mentioned later around tourism, and it's still the case. The Western Cape, Gauteng, KZN are the provinces who benefit the most. And it hasn't changed yet. It's still the same. Gauteng, if I'm right, is now the leading. So they've taken over from the Western Cape in a sense. And it is a concern. And we believe that through our strategy, and we need to sort of get alternative products in the other provinces. But with products comes infrastructure. And I can address some of the questions in relation to the air lift date and the 71. The problem is that you need to have road infrastructure, you need to have airports to get people to some of the rural areas. And some of the aircraft that we've got are too big to land at the smaller airports. If you take 2010, you have people going to Nelspruit, Mbombela, the airport there can take up to a certain length of aircraft, because safety-wise, once it landed, and there's a problem, they need to sort of get airborne again. So there's issues around the type of aircraft that can operate to certain areas. If you take Polokwane, it's a small aircraft, and I think it's a matter of how we link ourselves into the tourism industry, into Department of Transport, because the responsibility for airports, aircraft, the airports are with the Department of Transport. Your entity dealing with air travel, the assets are with transport, while the others are with the Department of Public Enterprises. So it's a problem that's been identified, and I will deal with the issue about our linkage with Department of Transport. The colleagues have indicated, the members of parliament have indicated their concerns about fuel transportation. It's a real concern, and I will address that issue just now. So the spec hasn't changed. And at the meetings with the heads of departments of the provinces and the department, we are looking at that, because for some provinces it's a real concern. They're not getting the feed or the revenue into their areas. I've dealt with the aircraft issues, because the issue is really what infrastructure are put in place in the rural areas to get people there, the roads, infrastructure. So a lot of these things are joint ventures between tourism needs to drive it, but the provincial departments of public works, the provincial departments of transport needs to be involved in creating that environment, working with sort of the resources that is made available by national training. The 2010 FIFA, the greening project, what we're talking here is waste management. How do they manage waste? How do they separate the waste? With the FIFA agreement, for argument's sake, the agreement they will use plastic or cardboard cups for Coke. Then FIFA came back and said, no, they will supply plastic. We have had issues with them, but say plastic, if you look at it from an environment, is more detrimental to the environment than caps. There's also a security risk. If people take bottles into the stadium and they throw it, people get injured. So that's the issues we are dealing with them on the local organizing committee around how we deal with that. Waste management are one of the major issues. Then there's also projects that we have launched through the SRPP, which we are also sort of creating a lot of temporary jobs in sort of the eradication of rats around the stadiums in that sort of areas, which are a short-term sort of intervention, and we're helping them. Then there is also, in some of the areas, working closely to make sure that we plant indigenous trees. So in the stadiums, when they design the stadiums, to make sure that the trees are planted are indigenous to South Africa. That are, and this is where Sambi, our botanical institute, are dealing with those sort of issues. So that, in short, is what is the greening program about. It's not a lot of money that we are putting in, but we are more in enforcing and making sure that they comply with the prescripts, because the stadiums are built for the future, not only for FIFA, and we need to make sure that the generations to come can have the benefits of what we're doing there. If we invest money, we do it properly. Slide 44, the jobs created, the non-accredited, and I think that I will ask Jonga to sort of just give an overview, but I think that one is a very interesting one, and perhaps we can come and brief the committee, but we can also supply for the information to tell you, we've got an online system, we can say each project, where it is situated, what is the GPS position, how many jobs have been created, how many rooms have been built. So I think that's something that we can really come and do. But Jonga, if you can just deal with that question for me. Slide 44, jobs created, and also inform the committee on how we determine the jobs to be created, 50%.
For every project that we have approved, 30% of that is earmarked for the jobs that needs to be created within the area that the project is implemented. The projects come via the IDP of municipalities and project advisory committees are set up to advise on who can be employed into the project. So that is basically, I think, the type of jobs that we create. The other thing is that they are temporary. We make sure that at least people are employed for a period of a year. We don't allow rotation. So yes, the minimum amount that can be paid within for a day, the minimum is 60 rand. So we try by all means to keep our people into employment throughout the duration of that particular project.
Thanks, Jonga. Just to add, the training are linked to what the project is. So if it's a construction project, people will be trained in carpentry, plumbing. That's essential to that one. And it's accredited training where we're working closely with trainers. So it's linked. If it is like
if it is a lodge that is being built.
So if there's a catering that's going to come in, we also get people to be trained into that one. So, and we believe that you need to have the short-term field training, but we prefer to give in that period accredited training. So when the project is finished, they've got a proper certificate saying I've been trained in A, B, C, D. So the accredited training and our 30% of the project cost might go to jobs. Then 7% of the project budget must go to training. And that is how we force that into the system. And that concept has also been accepted by the expanded public of the program in dealing with that. Chair, and I think if there's follow-up questions, we can always sort of interact around that one. Then on the percentages, black women in top management, in the annual report, there is detailed statistics around our HR issues, but just to answer that specific question, on page 147 of the annual report, there are 55 women in top management. Out of 116, which gives us about 47.5% of the women are in top management. Then around the Tourism Grading Council, yes, I can say that the Grading Council has got the representatives of the industry, including a person with disabilities. So the disability factor are part of the criteria. If any establishments are graded, the disability criteria need to be met. And that person who's in the grading council are also a member of the SA Tourism Board. So the grading council makeup of the people who is doing the grading represents the industry around disabilities, access, the fancy things that the woman likes,
the decor,
that's right. So that's how it's made up. But again, Chair, I think in a new financial year, we can have sort of a detailed session of grading to come and tell you. If they haven't done it during the presentation of the annual report, financial report of SIT. Then the issue about the relationship with transport, our minister has called a meeting with the Minister of Transport and the Deputy Minister of Transport. There was great concerns from the tourism industry around the new legislation that has been put in place and the time for setting up the systems around applying for permits, working from one province to the other one across provinces. And out of that workshop or the meeting between the ministers, it was agreed that they've established a small task group under the chairmanship of the acting DG of transport to deal with the specifics on the transport issues. At the IMC meeting a week ago, the Department of Transport presented to the Deputy President again on their progress. There is still concerns around the issues of getting drivers in, getting the permitting systems working. There was also concerns raised around the fuel. The plans that have been instituted between the Department of Transport and SAA, for argument's sake, to sort of get additional bunkers to Durban. The concern is still that fuel needs to be transported overland. And when it arrives at the airport, it still needs to mature for 5 days, be tested before it can be put into aircraft to make sure that there's no algae in the fuel. That issue that the Department of Public Enterprises and the Department of Transport are dealing with. I think the one red flag that was identified there was still the transport issue at the last AMC or the IMC meeting. But from our department side, we are very much involved, and perhaps I think Bulewa, and she's representing us at that committee, whether you want to add anything, Bulewa. I'm just worried that I've got 15 minutes and I'm going to run through the questions.
Thank you, Acting DG. What is actually happening around transport issues, especially when you look at your land transport issues, is that there are issues that were raised by tour operators of concern. Like, for example, that the number of days that it takes for an operator to get a license, accreditation issues. So these are the issues that we are negotiating with transport, but I must also indicate that it's actually for the very first time that within the Land Transport Act we actually have a portion that takes care of tourism transport. I think it's an achievement from our side to have been able to influence the processes. The other issue which I also would like to highlight around transport as well relates to the early strategy. The whole notion around getting additional flights coming into the country. The department for the very first time was also able to influence the process of developing the early strategy to ensure that when transport is actually allocating additional air frequencies, they take into consideration the existence of our tourism portfolio market. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I think I've addressed the issue specifically by the member around the targeting of the provinces. This issue is something that we would try to sort of, in the new strategy, to pick up and find the mechanism how we can build it into the legislative process or regulation process later on, so that you can force certain things to happen into certain areas. I think that the one problem we're having in our provinces is that the tourism portfolio are in most cases linked with agriculture, with finance, and then within that portfolio, a little bit of money is going to tourism. And I think it's our role as a national department to make sure that we bring that out of that sort of domain and perhaps have a structured budget system in treasury where the money is being earmarked from a national perspective into the tourism industry, similar to what we did with the environment part. And something we'll have to work on is not a quick fix, but it's something that we need to make sure that in consultation with National Treasury, we deal with that. Then on slide 29, the issue about the tour guides. I think we can give you the detail of how the tour guides have been, how many were in the different areas. Just to sort of share with you the concern we're having with the research and the economy, this is the first people who loses their jobs because they are working on a sort of temporary basis. They are employed on per tourist group they're taking in, and your tourism companies, that's the first place they cut, is those people who haven't got permanent employment. So it's a big concern in saying how we deal with that. In the strategy, the present Tourism Act deals with tourism guiding and how it needs to deal and what their qualifications would be. In the strategy that we've been developing and which we'll bring to the committee in the beginning of next year, we're addressing the issue around tour guiding, specifically the standardization, and to make sure that they've got a sort of career path around that one. The issue about language is one of the things we are addressing, and I think that in the tour ambassadors now for 2010, part of the structures of getting ambassadors is we're also working with those countries who will qualify to make sure that we link up the people from the foreign country with the national people in supporting one another, especially where we have language problems like your Spain or the Latin American countries. So we're looking at that. I can't say we're 100% there, but we're making some movement. We've also sent people from South Africa to the foreign countries for training, but it's limited. It's not really making a big impact, and I think it's something we'll have to look at. We don't know at this stage how much money the Department of Tourism will get for the new financial year. We are planning, but dependent on that resources, we will have to prioritize the issues of which we are really taking note of what's coming from the portfolio committee to make sure that stemming from government's policy but also portfolio committee that we address those concerns which make an impact on the people on the ground. Then slide 29, the skills in tourism sector, how identified. I don't know whether you are willing to respond to that now. Okay, Bulewa can respond to that. If not sufficient, then I think we can also come back in writing.
Thank you. In terms of identifying skills, we are working very closely with professors. And the people that are actually being trained would be people that provinces would have actually identified. So we don't actually handpick really. We are being given the database by provinces.
I think
we have the number.
Yeah, I think we can get that number to you to say how many people.
You want it fine.
Yeah. You can give that now. Okay.
Okay. In terms of the breakdown in numbers of the breakdown of 135, last year we were able to send tourist guides to Spain after having received their first training in terms of getting to understand the Spanish language. The reason for their placement was to get to know better the culture of the Spanish people. So that 39 of them that we actually sent out to Spain. We have also exposed our tourism officials, both at national and provincial level, to some form of training. We had 19 of them that were sent to Netherlands for project management, for example. We have also partnered with the University of Stellenbosch. They came in and they actually assisted us in terms of training the staff in policy development. We have also negotiated, in fact, what we are currently doing in the department, we are negotiating with various embassies in terms of getting some form of technical support. And now and again, we would receive some requests from these embassies in terms of foreign training. And we are able to place either your people that are doing tourism at local level or provincial level, they happen to get an exposure. And they, for example, last year we placed two in Malaysia. There was a training there on destination management. And there was also another opportunity that was created through the Japanese embassy, and we were able to send one staff from the department to Netherlands. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I think you can guide us later on which areas you would like us to sort of give more information back to the committee. On the chair's comments, I think I've addressed the issue about Gauteng Western Cape. The transformation in this industry has improved slightly, but I can honestly say there is not a big shift around the ownership in the industry. We will have to come back to you on how it benefits the small people. The issue is how you link the product into sort of the area that really matters. So in your sort of bigger cities where there's a lot of industry, the smaller SMMEs benefit. But I think we've lacked in sort of moving it already to the rural area, and that's something we'll have to work on. Our focus is very much there, and I can also indicate that both from the minister and specific from the deputy minister side, we are interacting a lot to sort of see how we can address that problem area. The visit of people to specific areas, unfortunately, I should have had tourism here, because SAT here, because they've done a sort of a study in looking at the markets to see what is the people's main objective. If you take people coming from Nigeria, they mainly come to do business here, buy goods, and then leave. The Germans, I'm going to take, are coming, and I'm not an expert here, but that's what I picked up at some of the internet. The Germans, for instance, are very much looking at what value for money they're getting. So in their case, when they are coming, say, what is the cheapest route, and where can they benefit the most around paying less money for more? The Americans, I'm going to say, are the opposite. They don't care about the money. They come for the event. They want to see a lion or the big five, but they don't want to drive for 2-3 hours in a Kruger National Park looking for it. They want to go to that venue where, almost like a zoo, where they can see it. Not really the zoo, but so that is their demand. They've really done a study, because that addresses where our markets are. What is the Chinese market looking for? Chinese are very much orientated cultural issues, because that's their tradition also, that side. India markets are a lot going to say KZN. So they've really done a study to look at the marketing strategy. Where do we put our money internationally in the marketing issues? And while I'm on that one, also just to say, the chair asked the question about Lucas Radebe. Now, I think it might have been oversight that he was not at the tourism conference, but he's been appointed as our ambassador, and he's doing the marketing internationally. So he's working closely with SAT, marketing South Africa as a destination outside our borders. So he's, the purpose of him being an ambassador in working with SAT is they're using him as a person in our foreign countries to market South Africa internally. While the tourism conference was addressing issues in relating to service excellence, how we deal with rendering a service in South Africa, how we treat the foreigners. So I think that is the distinction where we use him. But I think the point taken that we should have invited him. I don't know whether he was available, but I think it's something that we will take account of. Uh, Chair, I must admit I haven't got the question correct around what you were asked about the tourism conference. I don't know whether my colleagues.
Maybe the BEE charter and ESCOM card which were converted in 2008. And the conference, I think people should confirm given the difficulties you have with transformation in the industry.
Chair, I think that's the one area we really need to sort of make an effort to change it. The BEE charter, as I've indicated, that the team has now some teeth in moving forward, has only been introduced or signed by the Minister of DTI in May this year. So it's a process moving forward. What I can also indicate to the members is that the TEXA, the unit that was established to drive the BEE has been moved back into the department. So it's no longer sitting under SAT. For this financial year, they will still report to SAT as far as their responsibilities is concerned and the business plan. First of April, they will become a fully fledged chief director within the department so that the department can take the ownership and through the legislative process drive the BEE issues and not having it as a sort of external factor. The problem with the SAT is that they need to sort of make sure that SAT transform, comply with the BEE, but they also inside that one. So that was one of the first decisions that was taken under the new leadership for the department that we moved them back into the department. But here again there, I think we are willing to sort of, if time permits, get those teams to come and present to you what is the challenges. I can recall we've identified, she was at a previous meeting we had with the committee, but the progress there are not even halfway where we would like to see it. So I hope I've tried to address all the questions. If there's any I've missed out, my apologies, I can try and so it's not the fact that I'm talking fast to our member. I was mindful of the time, and I think I can say the same applies from the members. They also talk fast, and I need to write down the questions. So I can remember that.
Okay. No, thank you. And because a scorecard is like a dashboard.
Yeah.
You see the dashboard is 40, and then you often remember that you are driving at 40 or not, or if your tank is empty, it's empty or full. So perhaps it is a useful guide, and then which is going to assist in participation, because in economic terms, participation has also got to be from other race groups in order to increase the number of people that are entrepreneurs that are going to employ other people, and then in the process expand the value added and therefore the revenue in the country. So I think we've got to make an effort. It's not only money, but it's also about people, but I do not know the exact specifics of the scorecard, and I'd be happy to go to get a copy of that scorecard so that we share it among the members and the dashboard in terms of BEE. And then the issue of a lack of authentic cultural tourism, highlighted as missed opportunities. When people want cultural tourism, they just start getting the disky dance. And there's nothing bad about some of these things, but there has to be areas where people actually go and experience a different life. If you go to Australia, for instance, you get in some instances where there is authentic life. I mean, we've got all to make an effort. It's not, you can make us participate or even more people participate, because more we look at terrorism more as a facilitator and then a catalyst in other industries, because it has got to keep in touch with a number of stakeholders who are having different mandates, but at the same time to get the type of synergy that results in growth, equity, sustainable jobs, and sustainable livelihoods. I think that because of time, let us end on that note, and let me thank each and every member for the contribution and the department. We shall see how we take it forward. Unfortunately, when we planned for this meeting, we did not know we are going to have this meeting. This meeting we are going to was invited when on Thursday or Friday. So we thought that we are going to be here until after 12, but it is not so. But I think the information that we have suffices, and then we are going to interact with you in some other area when we are about to debate
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the committee for the leadership I think we take forward.
I'm not going to be able to do that.